Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiur Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now in Bava Kama Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Bet. And picking up on our discussion about Edim Zomim, etc., we now take a new attack or new address, a new issue relating to it. Amar Rava, Edim Shu Chashul Vasof Huzamun Neharagin. If there are Edim who first are Mukhash, which means that someone else has contradicted them in a way that you now have 2 versus 2 and the Edut is canceled, but they're not Muzam. Now let's just be clear. Hachashat Edim is when contrary evidence is produced by other witnesses, and essentially you have a standoff between the 2 witnesses. Hazama is when the second set of witnesses comes and testifies that at the time that the event happened, that the first witnesses are testifying to, the first set of witnesses was indeed with them elsewhere, imanu hayita. Rava's claim is that if there is first hachasha, followed by hazama, nonetheless, hazama, it goes through, and this first set of witnesses theoretically could be killed if they were testifying to something that would have gotten the defendant killed. Why? Da chashat chilat hazamahi. That's his claim. Ela shalom nigmara. What is chasha? Chasha is simply the beginning of the process of hazama, but we didn't get all the way there. So disproving the testimony of witnesses could be seen as the beginning of the process of hazama, and when you finally get to hazama, it's all seen as one long process, and hazama is fulfilled, and they could be killed. Amarav amina minala. And now I'll prove my point. The Tanya. Me'idani, it should probably be me'idanu. Be'ish ploni, shesimeyat ein avdo v'pilat shino. Now, let's just, one preface. If a master knocks out the tooth or blind, knocks out the eye of his Eved Kanani, the Eved goes free. The working assumption we've got here, which we will defend later, although a small challenge we brought up, is that if a master blinds his slave and then knocks out his tooth, for example, that the slave goes free, and now as a free man, he can claim payment for the other lost limb, as opposed to it just being a cumulative freedom. So if the testimony is that the master blinded his slave and then knocked out his tooth, which would mean that in addition to freeing him, he'd have to pay him a relatively small amount for the tooth. Sharav Omer Kane. And then we have the strange line in the Braita, which is that the master says it that way too. We'll see what that means. V'nim su'u zomin, and these witnesses turn out to be zomin, which means we have at least 2 sets of witnesses here. Mishalmin d'mei ayin le'eved. Then they have to pay the value of the eye to the Eved. This whole thing is very hard to figure out. Hechidami, what's the case? Ilei mekerektani, if you read it straight up, delei kekat achrina, there's no other group, which means there's only these 2 groups. So then we have 3 questions. A, mishalmin d'mei ayin le'eved, why would you pay the Eved for his eye? After all, according to the testimony, the first group said that the master blinded him and then knocked out his tooth. The second group is mazim them. So, effectively, the master didn't do anything, which means that they were trying to make the master lose the whole Eved. So the first question is, once this Eved's going to be free, why should he then pay him for his eye? After all, what they testified to was that he knocked out his eye and then took out his tooth. They should pay to the master the entire value of the Eved, because the Eved really should not go free, based on the simple way of reading the story. And that's what they were trying to make the Rav lose. A third, what does that mean? Harav minechalei. We assume that that means, and it does mean, that the master prefers it that way. Why does the master prefer any of this? They're testifying to hurt him. Why would he prefer that? El Allah can go on to, as it must be the following case. This is Rava's explanation. To Atu Beitrei, there's 2 witnesses. So Amri Pilachino Simeteno, and they gave, and they said, told the story that the master blinded him, and then, knocked out his tooth, and then blinded him. Which means that not only will he have to let him go, but have to pay him for an eye, which would be a lot of money. So he'd have to pay him for his eye. And then 2 more, which we're going to call the middle group, come. And they just testify differently and say that it happened, but in the opposite order. First he blinded him, then knocked out his tooth, which of course the Rav would prefer, because then he'd only have to pay for a tooth. So now the first witnesses and the second witnesses are canceling each other out, as it were. That's why the text said, and I know we understand the meaning of this phrase, that the rab prefers it that way. Of course he'd prefer to only have to pay for a tooth. Uktani, and then what did we say? Who becomes zomamin? The middle group, the second set. They have to pay the eved for the value of the eye. Now, of course, when you say the value of the eye, they mean the value of the eye above and beyond what it is for the tooth. Because, after all, really what happened was, according to the way we're reading it, the master punched out his tooth, he went free, and then he hit his eye, so he should get paid for the eye. They, in their false testimony, switched the order, so they're trying to make the Eved lose the value of his eye. And that's what they have to pay him, as Edim Zomim. Shema Mina, so what does Rava infer from this? Hachasha Tchilat HaZamahi. That, after all, the Hachasha of the first and second witnesses against each other is the beginning of the process of Hazama, where the second witnesses now become Muzam. And we see that the fact that they have to pay as Edim Zomim means the fact that they were Muchash originally doesn't keep them off the Hazama track. That's the way Rava reads it. There's a very big problem with this take, which the Gemara will address a little bit later, which is that the first witnesses, the first set, are the set that really are being Muchash. And the second set are the ones that are being Muzam, so it doesn't really speak to our issue. But Rava wasn't really looking at that. This is the beginning of his process. Now, Abaye disagrees. And Abaye says that Hachasha loved Tchilat HaZamahi, and we'll see. Amar Abaye lo. That's not the case. It happened. There were only two sets of witnesses. The first set said that he blinded him, and then he knocked out his tooth, and he blinded him. De afchinu v'yazminu. What happened was that the second set turned it around, they reversed the order, and they were mazing them. In other words, the second set came along and said, you were with us at the time you're claiming that it happened. And we were, by the way, witnessed the master's beating of his slave a different time, and it was in the opposite order, where first he knocked out his eye, then he knocked out his tooth, and that, of course, the rab would prefer. So the Abaye says, there is no hakasha than hazama. Hazama is the only thing happening here, and that's why they have to pay. Now, Mimai, how do I know that? Abaye says, the second half of the braita that we're going to see forthwith is a case of hafachav hazama, where they turned the order and were mazim at the same time. So must be that the first case, the one we just read, was also a case where there's only two sets. The second set is mazim the first set and reverses the order. And let's see it. Tiktani Seifa, Mi'idanu, et ish ploni shipil et shen avdo v'simeyate no. So again, now they testify that somebody took out the tooth of his eye. So now it's in the opposite order. The first set is not testifying as the second set did in the earlier part. Sharei ha'eved omer kein. And again, the strange phrase. V'nim su'u zomamin. And it turns out that they are, we'll have to see who they are, become zomamin. Mishalmin v'ayin la'rav. They have to pay the rav for the ayin, meaning for the overage of what the eye is worth more than the tooth. Now, hechidami, what's the case? Abaye is now interpreting. If the second set of witnesses says there was no damage, the Evan had an accident on his own, that's why he's walking around without an eye and a tooth. So to make kulei eved l'rav v'yishlumilei, then they should pay the rav the full amount for the loss of the eved, because these witnesses that are now muzam were trying to make him lose his slave, and he really shouldn't lose the slave at all. So it can't be that the second set of witnesses say nothing happened. Elapshita the kamodu kulhu b'chavla. It must be that everybody agrees that the master hurt the slave. Utkafchinan vazminu. It must be that the second set simply said, you were with us at the same time. It didn't happen the way you said. It happened the opposite way, and they're mafichet. Now, parenthetically, how did this happen? If the second set says that you have to, there's hazama, which means that it had to happen at a different time, because the time you're testifying to, you were with us. So if the second set says it really happened at a later time, then then the first set should still have to pay the master for the full value of the rav. Why? Because at the time that they tried to make him pay, he didn't owe anything. Because, in other words, if the first witness is said on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the guy knocked out his tooth, and then he punched out his eye. And then the second set comes and says, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you're with us. We were there on the 7th of Nisan. The 7th of Nisan, it was in the opposite order. That means that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they were trying to make, and where they're mazin them, that means that the first set should pay for an entire slave, because on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they were trying to make him lose a slave that he really owned. Ella, the kamakadmi kadumi hani batroi. It must be that the second set comes and says, you were with us on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But on Chaf Gimel Adar, we saw it happen. It had to have been earlier. All right, and v'id lo amad bedin, and parenthetically, another caveat is, if the master had not yet been omid bedin, akatid me kulei eved l'rav b'yishlumilei, you still have the problem, which is that the first witnesses who came and testified to what turns out to be a later date were still trying to make him lose the entire eved. Dakati gavra lo mechayiv. El da amad bedin, it must be a case where, and this is now Abaye's presentation, it must be a case where there's two sets of witnesses. The first set of witnesses said, let's say as an example, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he knocked out his tooth and then he punched out his eye. Alright? And then the second set comes and says, and there was Hamara Bedin. And then the second set comes and says, no, what really happened was that Chaf Gimel Ba'adar, earlier than that, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you were with us, you're Muzam, earlier than that, not only was he, did he do it in the opposite order, but there was already Hamad Abedin, and then he fled. And now the Eved is bringing witnesses to try to grab him. Rashi gives the full development here. And that means that he was already liable for losing the slave. Just the question is, what order? That's why the Eidim Zomim only have to pay for the Dmei Ha'ayin, to the master, because that's what they were trying to make him lose. But indeed, at the time that they came to testify, the master had already lost the slave, as it were. Okay, now, that's Abaye's take. And so Abaye says, since the second case, the Seifa we just read, was a case of two sets of witnesses, therefore the first case must also be two sets of witnesses. Afchinu v'yazminu. They changed the order and were mazin at the same time. There's no hachasha here at all. And therefore, hachasha lav hatchalat hazamahu. You can't prove that from here. Now, back to Rava. Amar Rav Acha b'reit Rav Ika l'Rav Ashi. Dukya de Rava Miheicha. Where did Rava get his diuk from? Elam and Mereisha, if you think it's from the first case, the one we saw on Amud Bet, Reisha Mikam and Tchashi Mitzioi. Think about this. The middle group, in Rava's take, there's three groups. The middle group were never Muchash, but they were the ones who were Muzam. So as I mentioned before, there's no proof that Achashat Tchilat Azamahi. Kevin de Lomit Zami Saduta Kavatayu Kakaima. Think about this. If there was no Hazama, then we would have ended up ruling like them. The Dina Kavatayu Paskinan. Why Diesh Bichlam Matayim Manet? Because after all, had they only come and said, yes, he did hurt him, but it was in the opposite order, we would have ruled like them, because we would have awarded the smaller gift. Hilkach Kamayhu to Kamitchashi. So who is it that's Muchash? The only group that's Muchash is the first group that were trying to create a liability that was greater. In other words, the first group said, first in the Reisha, that he first knocked out his tooth, then he blinded him. So that's a greater liability, because you have to pay for the eye. The second group said, no, he blinded him, then he knocked out his tooth. So certainly we're going to do exactly what they said, which is to make the master pay for the tooth, if it weren't for the Hazama. And therefore, the second group is not called Muchashim. So what do you have? The first group is Muchash, the second group is Hazama, is Muzam. Therefore, you don't have Hachashat Chilat Hazama here, because it's not the same group. So Amarleh, Ravashi answered that Rava did not get his information from the Reisha. He said, he used the Reisha as a springboard. Since the Reisha, the way Rava interpreted, had to be three groups, the Seifa also had to be three groups. The Seifa that we have on the top of our mood also had to be three groups. V'diyek mi Seifa, he inferred it from the Seifa. And what's the Seifa? We read it just like the Brita says. The first group came and said, he knocked out his tooth and then he blinded him. Upaskine ladina apumayhu, and we ruled like that. And the next group came and flipped the order. They're machish them. What happens if the first group turns out to be zomim? They have to pay the value of the eye to the rav. And if you think that a chasha takes you off the hazama track because you're no longer a valid witness, amai mishalmi, why do they have to pay anything? So they've already been muchash by the second group. And so Rav, of course, says there had to have been three groups here. He says, Achasha really is the beginning of the Hazama process. What is Abaye's answer? Abaye says, okay, I'll admit that in the first case, there have to be three groups. Because in the middle of that first case, it said the Rav preferred it that way. So you have to have three groups, three steps. Ela seifa lama li shalosh kitot. Why do I need to have three steps in the seifa? Right, sharei eved omer ken. Because of that, eved kol du omer mar. The eved's going to be happy with any of this testimony because the main thing is it gets him free. Tenechalu denefuk lechayrut. So that's Abaye's take. Abaye says, okay, I'll agree that the first case had to be three groups. That doesn't mean the second case had to be three groups. And if the second case isn't three groups, the first group is testifying and the second group is being mazim them, and there's no two separate steps of achosh and hazama. Okay, matki for lav zero. So I mentioned earlier that this entire discussion is built upon a premise which could be challenged, which is ema simi eteno nafik beino. Why don't I just say if a master pokes out the guy's eye, he goes free. He pilot shino nepuk shino. He knocks out his tooth, he goes free because of his tooth. Simi eteno pilot shino nepuk beino shino. And if he knocks out both, then he goes free from both. Why is there an extra payment? So Abaye, Alacha Mar Christ, is referring to that. The pasuk says, Tachat Eino and Tachat Shino, meaning he goes free for his eye. V'lo Tachat Eino v'Shino. He doesn't go free for his eye and his tooth. The tooth, he's already, in other words, once he's been freed, he's now a free man, and any other torts that happen go on the normal tort route, which is payment. Tachat Shino, V'lacha Tachat Shino v'Eino. All right, so we discard with that. I'm of Idi Bravin, Af Adonami Tanina. He said, I can prove to you this point from our Mishnah. If he stole at the on the testimony of two people and the tficha mechira was on their testimony also, and it turns out that there's zomamin, they have to pay the purported ganav all four or five. My love, aren't we talking about a case where they're made on the two steps separately? First, they were muzam on the gneva. Somebody came and said, how could you say that he stole on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? You were with us at the movies. And then, and then somebody else comes and says, how can you say that on the 7th of Nisan, he killed the animal? After all, you were with us at the matzah factory. So if that's the case, then since they were already muzam for the gneva, that means that they're already in dimuchashim when it comes to the tficha. And the fact that they have to pay for everything proves that hachoshat cholat za'azamahi, that it's a one process. If you think that hachosh is not the beginning of the process of azama, tficha ma'mishalmin, why should they pay anything more than double? So this is support for Rava from our Mishnah. The fact that the Edim Zomin have to pay all four or five means that the Hachashan the Gneva doesn't take him off the track for Tvichu Mechira. But not so quick. Amri, the answer, they gave an answer in the Beit Midrash, which was Hachmaiskin and Gonchuzamu al Tvicha Bitchila. They were Muzam on the Tvicha first, which means there was no Hachasha at any point. They're Muzam on the Tvicha. And remember, Edut on the Gneva could stand alone. And then there moves on the Gneva. Okay. Uplukta, this machloket, Abaye and Rava, is a machloket that took place a generation earlier or so in Eretz Yisrael. Edim shu chashuv asofu zamu. If you have Edim who first are contradicted, then they're muzam. Two witnesses come and say, he killed the guy. And two other witnesses and say, no, it was somebody else, or he didn't kill him, or whatever. That's hachasha. And then afterwards, two other witnesses come and say, you were with us in that time, imanu hayitem. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar, chadamar naragin, chadamar ein naragin. We don't know which one who said what yet, but one of Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar said that those edim who testified falsely are killed, as edim zomim, and the other said they're not killed. So the answer is, tistayim to Rabbi Lazar, hu damar naragin. We can conclude that Rabbi Lazar said they're not killed. Why? Damar Rabbi Lazar, edim shu chashu benefesh lokin. If edim are muchash about a capital case, they get makot. Visakot aitach, Rabbi Lazar, capital case meaning of murder. Think about this. If you think that Rabbi Elazar is the one who said, in the case of Achosha and Azama, they could still be killed, Amailokin, they shouldn't get makot just for the Achosha. Why? This is a particular category of lav, which is called lav shenitan lazarat mitat beitin. If you violate a lav that under certain circumstances could get you the death penalty, you don't get makot for it. An example is mechamer on Shabbos. And therefore, if Rabbi Elazar really held that these guys could ultimately become muzam and killed, they can't get makot for what they did. El alav shramina must be Rabbi Elazar hu damar in naragin distayim. We can now conclude comfortably and confidently that Rabbi Elazar is the one who said that hachasha does not lead to hazama, and Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said that it could. Now, question is lokin. Why did Rabbi Elazar say that these witnesses who are muchash get makot? Why did they get makot? No makot for lota never achayit shakar, for testifying falsely in court. Treu treininu. But how do you know that these witnesses are lying? My chazit samech tahani smochahani. Who says you, why do you rely on the second set? Rely on the first set. Remember, the whole chiddush of Edim Zomim is that you believe the second set and convict the first set and even will kill them. I'm Rabbi Vaharug Braglav. But we don't, I'm sorry, but we don't say that in the context of Achosha. In the case of Achosha, it's a double knockout and we have a draw. We have a stalemate. We don't believe one over the other. We just don't believe anybody. So, Amar Bai Vahug Raglav, that we're talking about a case where the purported victim of the murder walks into court. If the guy walks into court, then we know that the guys who said he killed him are lying. And then they get makot for Lotaneh, but they get makot because they could never be killed for Lotaneh, because once you've had a chasha, you can't be convicted of Hazama. Okay, we'll stop at this point, and then we'll pick up at the beginning of Mishnah Dalad, in the next podcast, which is on Ayin Dalad Amud Bet. Everyone should have a wonderful day.